Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, everybody. It's Devin.
And Kate.
Welcome to Med Crimes. That was for you.
You're welcome. So, hey, we're back.
Back.
Part two.
It is a little stuffy in this basement.
I mean, it is.
I don't know what other parts of the country you guys are listening in, but we're on like a 2-week heat wave.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And this is not awesome for me.
I can't live. I just hate living in a place where I'm just so sweaty all the time. Well, I say that, but I literally live in New Hampshire where the air also hurts my face in the wintertime.
There's that. So we have two evils.
I just have to remember that I live where the air hurts my face because I don't want things like scorpions or tarantulas to
alligators in your backyard.
I'm all set with like even an alligator. I mean, at least that's like big and I can mostly see it coming. That's my rationale. I just, the little pests,
okay,
that's what would really be like a lot for me. So anyway, that's where I'm at.
The
if anybody
snakes,
was wondering.
The rattlesnakes in your kitchen.
Yeah, no, I'm literally all set with
in your
critters. Okay. New fear unlocked. Thanks for that.
We are creeped out.
We are such creeps. Happy July, and we're like midway through summer already. I don't really know what's going on.
My kid starts kindergarten in a month.
Shut up. He's getting so freaking big. It's like ridiculous.
I don't know how I feel about this.
I don't really know where the time went with all of that.
It's crazy. Bada bing.
I'm ready to,
do we have
you
any
know,
Patronuses?
Oh, we definitely have Patronuses. We have a new buddy named Terry Meyer. Hi, Terry Meyer.
Hi, Terry Meyer. Welcome to the club, buddy.
Welcome to the club. And I have your mythical creature. Are you ready? I can't believe I haven't used this one yet.
What?
Because it's fabulous.
Will I be shocked?
Genie.
Come on.
You're literally
Come
a genie.
On.
Okay.
Can I give you my three wishes?
I mean, Terry has already granted my first wish by joining as a Patreon. I wished that she would, and she granted that wish.
Thank you, Terry.
So thank you, Terry, for being a sweet, generous, mythical, sexy genie.
Boom.
You're welcome.
She said it.
I said all of those things. And now we're going to dive into Cullen Pot de.
Pot de. I think there's been a lot of positive response into this revisit.
I feel like I'm really glad we're doing this because I just think, like I've said many times, it just deserves that second look and that, you know, we'll do over. Business action.
I hope y'all are loving it.
I really hope you do. So let's dive back in and where I'm going to give
to the douche canoe.
We are going to talk about some things like substance use disorder, obviously medical violence. There's themes of suicide sort of interwoven throughout this entire story that we talk about. So trigger warnings for all of that. I will give like a little bit of a rundown of where we're at thus far. So Charles Cullen, he had kind of a crummy childhood, lots of mental illness sort of as a big, you know, overlapping theme throughout his whole life. He had issues making friends as a kid, ultimately joined the military, the Navy, where he had kind of a rough time with that as well. There was a lot of alcoholism, a lot of substance abuse. He eventually did end up going to nursing school, and he did really well in nursing school. And then he got a job on a burn unit. And that is where things sort of started to go awry. And people that were receiving IV fluids, IV heparin, would have these like sort of mysterious decompensations. And they found that people were becoming hypoglycemic that were getting fluids or heparin drips. And there were bags that had been tampered with that were found in storage. And he was suspected based on a timeline, this big investigation that occurred, and he was confronted about it and did eventually actually lose his job over this. They were not able to prove anything because there were no witnesses at the time, but he was let go from this job. And he also did, during this time, get married and have a child with his beautiful wife, Adrienne. And we're going to dive a little bit more into that relationship. So,
Adrienne.
So, speaking of Adrienne, so he is, this is now, it's late 1991. St. Barnabas had just let Charles go. And all of those problems with the code situations, the hypoglycemic events, all just like mysteriously stopped as soon as he left St. Barnabas. Now, through the investigation that happened at the hospital and when his job was like in jeopardy, he would come home and tell Adrienne, there's all these politics there. It's like this big internal issue. And I'm like the strongest nurse on the unit. And essentially, this is a witch hunt. Like somebody mentioned maybe that I'm doing something on purpose and now everybody thinks it is. And he sort of spins it like he's like it, sort of the focus of this like big witch hunt. He said it like I wasn't even near any of these patients. And he said, you know, the nurses are all talking about going on strike. There was this whole big nursing strike that they were talking about at the time. And he had been made a scapegoat. So Adrienne is like, I mean, okay. And then eventually he loses his job over this, which is like no small apples, right? And so she's just like kind of confused because like with Charlie, she's already been, you know, seeing some stuff at home.
Correct.
That has been a big concern, right?
And then so, now it's spiraling into professionalism.
Exactly. So now she's like, I really don't know what to believe. You know, she's actually been talking, like confiding in her family and friends about like, what should I do about Charlie? I think he's drinking again. He might be using substances.
And do I remember that you said they were like, really, you should work it out. You need
yes.
to keep going.
They've been
you
encouraging to, her yeah. to just like really try and work things out for the sake of the family. And, you know, they have this new baby. There's, you know, question of him abusing the animals in the house. It's like a weird, very bizarre, you know, sort of situation right now. He did open up to Adrienne about like the issue with the IV bags at work. He said, yeah, specifically, they're worried about IV bags. And he said, the hospital can't figure it out, but there's somebody there that they think is tampering. And of course, it's probably somebody in the pharmacy, but it certainly isn't me. And she sort of like was hearing this little voice internally that's like, I think he really is doing something.
Right. You know, deep down.
Yeah. And when he was talking about the specifics of the IV bags with Adrienne, she noticed that he kind of looked excited. Like when he was talking about the details of like, yeah, they found this IV bag that was like kind of full and they think that, they're doing this investigation and they're finding insulin and all the heparin bags and everyone's becoming like hypoglycemic. When he started opening up about the details of what was going on, she noticed that he seemed really excited.
Right.
And she's like, this does not seem normal.
It seems odd.
This is
like,
odd.
Like, excited that, like, look what I've done. They,
exactly.
They don't know it's me.
Like, why are you talking in this upbeat tone about these people that are, you know, clearly ill and they're becoming iller because somebody is being a creep and a murderer?
Pretty important that you trust your gut. And if something,
oh my God,
if you
yes.
have so many things that just deep down, you're just like, I have a feeling.
Yes.
It usually is.
It usually is. And sometimes it's better just to like overreact, you know, even if your gut for whatever reason is wrong, you know, sometimes it's better just to be wrong about it and be safe than it is to ignore the gut feeling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's just one of those things. Mm-hmm. So Colin, of course, is left without a job. So he moves on to work at Warren Hospital in their ICU. This is January of 1992. And this is just after the birth of their second daughter, whose name is Saskia, I think is how you pronounce it. But Sasha and Saskia. Cute. So Adrienne would go on to say that, like, around this time when he was starting at Warren is when the weird behavior, the drinking, and her suspicions, they really started to escalate. Like, he was just behaving very bizarrely at home. His relationship with the kids and with her was, like, really rapidly deteriorating, and it was becoming sort of impossible for her to ignore because it was affecting her, like, day-to-day life as well. Anytime they would get, like, a pet, it would just disappear or die, including... actually, their older Yorkie Lady, the one that he was, like, taking into the basement and quote unquote training, Lady died at, like, kind of under kind of, like, interesting and bizarre circumstances too, she would recall. And so, you know, she's left with, like, you know, what the hell is going on in my house? She actually, like, confronted him a couple times and was like, listen, you're behaving oddly. I think that you need help with your drinking. I'm noticing that you're drinking a lot. And I know that your drinking and your mental health before we met was a big issue, and I think you need to get help. And he was very resistant. She also alleges that around this time, physical abuse began between Charlie and her. Like, he would be physically abusive towards her around this time, especially when he was drinking heavily. So finally, in November of 1992, she files for divorce from Charlie, which...
Good girl.
Good girl. Finally, she gets those kids out of that house. This part really kind of was, like, humiliating for him. He was actually served his divorce papers, his legal papers, at work while he was working in the ICU. So,
I mean,
fuck around and find out, I guess.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Exactly. So once this relationship ended, this was another sort of moment in Charlie's life where everything is sort of falling apart. So what follows is more suicide attempts, of course, or cries for help, like we talked about in the first.
I pretty much stated my opinion in the first one.
Exactly. And I mean, he's a registered nurse. He's very well versed.
At this point, he's killed people.
At this point, he has killed people. And he likes to ingest things in, like, these massive quantities, and his method of, you know, trying to harm himself is almost always ingestion, and he would never do anything, like, outwardly violent. So it's almost like he's doing these things but not committing fully, you know? He's like, I'm gonna, you know, I feel like he's smart enough to know at this point with, like, what his body can tolerate and handle, because he's done it so many goddamn times. But again, it's very difficult to understand and be in that place for somebody that we don't know. You know, we've never met the guy. We don't know what he was going through. It's very possible that these were legitimate attempts and he was really in that bad place. We're not armchair diagnosing again.
I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not armchair. Yep, we're not armchair diagnosing. I'm just stating my opinion.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not going to repeat it. Listen to part one. I stated my opinion.
We've stated our opinion. So January of 93, Charlie is actually committed to a psychiatric facility for another suicide attempt.
Needed.
Yep. From there, he was transferred to a different psychiatric hospital called Muhlenberg, which is in Bethlehem, PA. And he completed all of his treatment at this place. Now, while he was there at Bethlehem, he befriended a nurse that he worked with in the ICU at Warren named Michelle. She was actually there getting treatment for their issues as well. And they kind of were like, oh, you know, we know each other. So they kind of, like, just stuck together in the program and they hit it off and they kind of bonded over a lot of shared trauma. She had some mental health issues, and Charlie felt like, you know, finally somebody really understands what I'm going through, because I've never really been able to connect with somebody who has similar mental health issues as I do. So,
which, fair, because again,
of course,
definitely not as talked about as what it is now.
Exactly. So it's more like a trauma bond, you know, that's probably going to, like, it ends up, you know, spoiler alert, it's toxic in its own way.
Right.
But they needed each other in that moment. Mm-hmm. So they kind of just like banded together and bonded.
It's fair.
And once they sort of graduated from the program, she said yes to one date with Charlie. So she was also newly divorced. She was a single mom. So they also bonded over the fact that they were parents that mm-hmm. had both been divorced. She was really in a place of, I want friendship. You know, he was kind of pushy about the whole thing and he really wanted more and more and more because, again, he's somebody who really needs a female figure in his life. You know, since he lost his mom and then he lost his ex-wife, and it's like, I need that person in my life to like really look up to and worship.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted more. But finally, he wore her down and she said, I will give you the one date, Charlie. I'll give you one date.
Mm-hmm.
So the two go on a date. They hit it off. It goes well. Things are sort of moving along slowly. He does visit her pretty much.
I wonder what they did.
I know.
Did he sweep her off her feet?
Did they walk on the beach?
Hand in hand.
I hope they did.
I mean.
So he visits her on all of his off days at work. He actually started showing up to her house, like, unannounced, which Michelle was like, I mean, you're sweet, Charlie, but like, this is a lot. I don't love this. Mm-hmm. He even bought a ring and he brought it to work. Like, he went and saw her at work and he would go visit her at work on her off days as well, like, frequently. But he actually, like, showed up to her work during a shift when he was not working and she was, and showed her a ring. And he was like, will you marry me? And she was like, no, I won't, because we're literally like not nowhere near that point. And also, I kind of feel like you're doing this in front of all these people and my coworkers because you think pressure. I won't say no.
Right. Pressure in front of the community.
Exactly. And she was like, no, this is not a thing.
Now it turned even worse for him because he's turned down in front
exactly.
of everyone.
Exactly. So he, I don't think, expected that to not work in his favor. And so he just like professes his love to her again, mm-hmm. like in front of everybody, just absolutely humiliating for Charlie, but also for Michelle. Like, this is her place of work. She's trying to maintain her professionalism. Mm-hmm. And this guy is just like coming in and being kind of psychotic. If I were her coworker, I'd be like, I'm worried for you. Like, what is going on?
I remember past life. Even just phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
That at your place of work. Mm-hmm. That was just like, this is not going to happen right mm-hmm. now. You know what I mean? While I'm yes, at work. So I exactly. can't imagine face to face.
It would be like way too much. And
they count that now as part of, I forget like what category, but like it's part of workplace violence.
Oh, yeah.
Now when you have like an encounter.
Yes.
An angry encounter with an employee's spouse or 100%. Something when they're escalated. And
yeah. Absolutely, as it should be. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So after this event at work, this really was kind of a turning point in their relationship. Like, listen, we were friends. We bonded. We really needed each other in that moment. We got along. But she was really not interested in
anything
serious.
And this was only
after serious.
How much time?
Not that much time.
Right.
Like literal months.
Couple months,
maybe.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm trying to get my life back together. I needed help. I was, you know, institutionalized for that brief period, but I'm better now. You know, your level of obsession and instability right now is not what I need in my life. So she was, you know, cognizant enough to know that for herself and was like, I just need to go, you know, show up to work, go home, focus on my professional life and rebuild myself and not let you insert yourself into my life and make it chaotic again.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time.
For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Her incessantly. She would not answer anytime that she knew it was him. Eventually, Charlie gets a call back from this guy who is Michelle's ex-husband. And Michelle's ex-husband tells Charlie, listen, she's telling me what's going on. I know I'm her ex, but we're still on good terms. Mm-hmm. I am the father of her child. Mm-hmm. You need to leave her the fuck alone. Mm-hmm. Leave her alone.
Good for him.
He is, she's obviously like nervous and she's going
That's
to
a
the
stand up ex-husband.
That is a good guy right there who's making sure that his baby mama is safe at least.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
But the fact that Michelle's ex-husband called Charlie and told him this was even further humiliating and enraging for Charlie. He was like, the fuck is going on? Now she's back with her ex, which like, no, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. They're just on decent terms and he's trying paranoid. To look out for her. Mm-hmm. So he gets very paranoid, very, very possessive over Michelle at this point. So he was livid. So he started driving by her condo, sitting outside her car, like sitting outside her condo in his car, just like waiting for her to come and go. She would like watch him drive by over and over for hours, hours. He would do this. He would then drive back home to check his answering machine just in case she called him back and left him a message. Because again, we're before cell phones over here.
Mm-hmm.
She would go out like grocery shopping. He would follow her. She would see him like ducking in and out of the aisles and shit and like following in his car. I mean, this is like escalating and getting very mm-hmm. terrifying. So he is like just very obsessive right now over Michelle.
It's in a manic state.
He is
sure.
Very, very much so. So even once he broke into her condo at night and watched her sleep.
It's creepy.
So Michelle wakes up the following day and she, you know, was asleep during this. She mm-hmm. noticed that her apartment had been broken into, like, the, mm-hmm. you know, there was stuff that was like awry and the door was kind of ajar. So he calls Michelle that morning. She picks up and he said, oh, yeah, it was me. I was in your condo last night. I just wanted to watch you sleep. So that's fucking terrifying. Yep. Thanks for that. So she hangs up and she calls the police. She's like, this is enough. I have told him many times, you know, my ex has told him many times that you need to leave me, that he needs to leave me alone. And he is just not. And like, this has escalated to the point where he's letting himself into my home mm-hmm. and watching me sleep like an absolute psycho.
Mm-hmm.
She calls the police on him. This ordeal led to another suicide attempt. He apparently had taken a large amount of Xanax and Darvocet, which is a benzo and a old school pain medication. Mm-hmm. And he ended up at Greystone, which is another nearby inpatient psychiatric treatment facility. At Greystone, he actually did pretty well. He was there for like 30 plus days. He did a pretty intense treatment program there. He was concerned during his time there with keeping his job at Warren in the ICU, but they wanted him to work. So once he went and he was discharged from Greystone, he went right back to work in the ICU. So the man is like just not slowing down.
I think now, and I could be wrong, I could be very wrong, but I think because I've attended conferences and whatnot, specifically for New Hampshire. So I don't know how every state goes to, but I think there's, I know there's programs for to help providers and medical professionals if they have addiction problems, but with the mental illness and stuff, I also think they have programs to like bridge so that you may not just go from inpatient psychiatric to taking care of people right away.
Right.
You know, I think, I know they definitely have them for substances, and I'm pretty sure they also have them for the mental health wise.
Oh, absolutely.
So that there's that, that break and working that. Maybe your license is suspended at this period of time if you've had so many inpatient.
Absolutely.
You know, not to say that you're not going to have it reinstated, but because obviously it's pretty clear that someone who's having that much internal torment is not fit to take care of other people.
Yeah, like full time. And as we get into it, we'll find that Charlie just works every opportunity he has, especially as things continue to kind of deteriorate in terms of his mental health. He just pours everything into working, mostly because he's harming people at work and he wants to be there all the time.
Right.
And I think that employers nowadays maybe are a little better at spotting things. And like you said, you know, there's programs in place where, you know, you can keep your job, but we're going to help you.
Right.
And like a lot of places have employee assistance programs and things like that. I think employers can always do more, of course, to help their employees and look out. And I think some are much better than others. And it only works if you take advantage of the help, too. But, you know,
because we can provide them with the resources.
Exactly.
But if you don't reach out.
But if you don't reach out, and a lot of people don't. I mean, there's a lot of stigma. And especially around this time, this is the early 90s, around mental health, a lot of that is still very, very much stigmatized.
We have limited resources now. So even 30 years ago, it's sometimes
it was even worse. Yeah. Exactly. So I think he's, you know, probably in a tough place for many different reasons. I don't like feel bad for the guy now because, I mean, his choices were obviously not great choices. So we're now around early September of 1993. And he is back to working the night shift in the ICU at Warren. Now, a patient at Warren Hospital ICU, Helen Dean, was recovering from breast cancer surgery, and she was actually scheduled to discharge the next day. She was doing really, really well. Her son, Larry, was at the bedside with her in the hospital. And the following is Larry's account of what happened in the night in question.
Oh, dear.
So, Larry recalls that a male staff member that he did not recognize, he did not recognize him to be part of her care team that night that was taking care of her, taking care of Helen, walked into the patient's room and asked Larry to leave. So, can you please leave? I have to do some things with your mom and take care of her for a minute. So Larry goes, I mean, okay. I mean, I've been here, but like, okay, I'll, you know, go take a walk, whatever it is you need to do. So he goes. And upon his return 10 minutes later, his mom was worried. And she reported that, you know, that that man that was in here, he stuck me with something. And she lifts her Johnny and she reveals to Larry a pinhole in her upper thigh, like a like an injection mark in her upper thigh.
Can you imagine the gauge on that needle to make a pinhole?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's probably, I mean, it's probably
that's
like an
IM
needle. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So Larry immediately he like calls the staff and he says, hey,
WTF.
So what was it that that person just gave my mom? She's just wondering because this man just like walked in, didn't really say anything, asked me to leave and then gave her a shot. And she doesn't really understand what's going on. So if you could just like explain it to her. And the staff were like,
what are you talking about?
What do you mean?
What's she talking about, Willis?
She's not due for any medicine. So it was a little odd, but they actually showed the staff the pinhole, like literally it's right here. As they're having this conversation, Helen starts to decompensate a little bit. She becomes violently ill. She gets really pale, clammy, and her heart rate and blood pressure begin to drop. And
Charles
unfortunately Cullen. Over the coming hours, they make heroic efforts to try and bring her back, but her heart stops. She was coded. and she could not be revived.
Devastating.
Yes. So
you're trying to beat breast cancer. You have a successful
and
surgery.
She was doing amazing.
You're about to go home.
Yeah.
And this fucker put something in your thigh.
And Larry, having witnessed this timeline, is like,
and no one knows
I
who
need
it
to
is.
Know who this guy was and what he gave my mom because he just killed her. I know it. I know it. He said, I know she has been murdered.
Yes.
My mom was just murdered.
Correct.
What just happened? So the following morning, Larry and her oncologist, who was her attending at the hospital, had this big, long discussion. And the oncologist kind of looks through her record and he's like, she had no orders for any injections that night. She was not due for any medications. And there's nothing that is signed off that had been given on the medication administration record.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Larry was like, I saw the pinhole. My mom was worried about the pinhole. And XYZ staff members all saw this pinhole right before she started to decompensate. So
and it
she
happened
got it
right when you were asked right to leave the room.
Yes, exactly. So,
oh,
this. So once the oncologist was like, I wish I had an answer for you, but I don't. There's nothing signed off here. I don't know what happened. Immediately, Larry gets on the phone and calls the Warren County prosecutor and reports this staff member.
Good.
And after some describing of what he looked like, it was found that it was Charles Cullen that was in that room. He was the guy that worked on the unit that matched that prescription. Prescription. Mm-hmm. Description.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And he was working that night.
He was working that night. But he was not taking care of Helen that night.
Right.
So Cullen was notified that there's a pending investigation against him. And he is asked not to come back to work until this investigation is complete. So thankfully, like right off the bat, the cops are involved here because we're going to see this very consistent pattern of hospitals discovering Cullen's actions, quietly firing him,
right,
and then doing nothing in terms of legal action.
Right.
Some of them do involve the cops, but because there's very little physical evidence, there's
not
a lot they can
do. Cooperation from them either.
Exactly. So at least it's very early on after, you know, this event happened and the cops are immediately getting involved. So at this point, Cullen is on this like very self-destructive path. And he literally gives zero fucks. On later interviews, he would say it was literally, I would just sit at home when I was sent home from work on leave. I would just sit at home and just like wait for the cops to bust down my door because I just knew it was coming. I literally knew it was coming.
Okay.
And he said, I actually left my doors unlocked because I didn't want them to break my doors.
He was probably like, I'm just the scapegoat. Yep. They're coming.
Yep. So he was just like not caring even a little bit at that moment. So again, this big investigation ensues. There is no video evidence. There are no other witnesses aside from Larry. And he actually didn't even see him physically inject anything either.
So frustrating.
There is no eyewitnesses. And an autopsy was performed. The section of the injection site from her thigh, like they literally excised this pinhole injection site, was sent for toxicology testing.
And
they tested for over 100 different substances. And nothing came up. Over 100 different substances.
Okay.
So, while he's on leave pending this investigation, Charles Cullen says, I think now is the time for me to quit. So, I'm going to quit. I'm going to seek better paying work. And
innocent people don't quit on the spot without trying to clear their name.
No, nobody. I feel like I don't know anybody that would be okay with that being their reputation somewhere or anywhere.
Yeah.
If it wasn't true, you know what I mean?
Correct.
I would say, no, I'm going to come sit in on all your fucking meetings about me so I can clear some shit up
and
we can wrap it up.
And talk about what really happened
exactly.
And what I did and did not see.
Exactly.
And,
yes. Uh-huh. So at this point, you know, he's also got two kids and he's got two child support payments to make. And he's like, I got to get a better paying job anyway. They didn't pay me shit at Warren. So.
drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
This is around April of 1994. He gets hired at Hunterdon Hospital in their ICU. And he does well there, actually, for the first period of time. And October 1995, his performance review read, quote, "A pleasure to work with. Smart, attentive, and a great patient advocate."
Performance review from where?
This is from Hunterdon Hospital, the ICU, and this is after he had worked there for about a year.
All shit.
Despite his glowing reviews, he continued injecting patients with his new drug of choice. And his new drug of choice, which is what he used to kill Helen Dean, was digoxin.
I was just going to ask, do you suspect if this new drug of choice was what was used at the last hospital?
I do, and he later admitted it, actually. And they tested for those 100 substances, over 100 substances on that excised part of her thigh. They did not test for digoxin.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about the insulin, which is what he was using before, is mm-hmm. that it creates this sort of very rapid and decompensation, and then as soon as you check a blood sugar, you know exactly what's happening, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes that can be treated. And while he did kill people with insulin, he also had people recover from insulin once it was on their radar that people are hypoglycemic. You can treat that, right?
Right.
So he switches to digoxin.
It's like, well, they're catching on.
They're catching on. I gotta shift my MO. So digoxin is a cardiac glycoside. It's derived from the plant digitalis, which is also foxglove, commonly used to treat cardiac ailments, including atrial fibrillation, which is a common cardiac arrhythmia, as well as heart failure by improving contractility and cardiac output. And it comes in oral and IV forms. Now, the IV form comes in these small glass ampoules. Again, it's not a narcotic, so it's not closely monitored, and it's not under lock and key. Digoxin IV.
Does it still come in an ampoule?
It did when I was working on the floor, okay. On the cardiac floor. Yeah. I would have to take a washcloth and do the
I've
snap.
Never given it IV, obviously, in my setting.
Yes,
so.
Yes. So the ampoule, at least at that time, the ampoules, these glass ampoules, contained 3 doses per ampoule. So you would break open an ampoule and you would have 3 doses that you can give of digoxin, right? So later on with Helen Dean, when Charlie was talking about what he had done to her, Charlie estimated that he had used 3 full multi-dose ampoules, each consisting of 500 micrograms total of digoxin. So he loaded all of these into one syringe, injected it into her thigh, which is an estimated total of 1.5 milligrams of digoxin, which would be fatal to any average person. So at that massive a dose, that would absolutely cause bradycardia, bradyarrhythmias, hypotension, shock, and death. And because of how effective this was for Helen Dean, this kind of just became his new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no little quick test they could do on the unit to figure out, oh, it's digoxin. It's just like, people just brady down and go into shock, and you try to treat that with supportive measures, but when they don't know what's happening immediately, there's not a whole lot else they can do.
Right.
So this kind of became his thing.
Great.
Now
he's like, I got a new piece of candy that
exactly.
No one's catching on to.
He's just kind of the worst. I'm not going to lie.
He's a terrible human.
He's literally the worst. So 1995, as time rolls on.
God, 1995. How many years has it been?
This has been. Six? He's been working there now since 94. So this has been over a year now that he's been working there.
I know, but like we're at like year four or five of his being cray cray.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. So time rolls on and he reports that he did this with a large number of patients. And after a little bit of time, his behavior starts to change at work. Now, remember, he was, you know, he was showing up for extra shifts. He was the guy that was always personable. He got great performance reviews. And some people would report that he would always, like, insist weirdly on, like, making sure that he was alone with the female patients and, like, bathing them alone. And, like, if anybody offered help, he'd be like, no, 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 I'll do it alone. Mm. And he always, like, drew the blinds. And there was some weird sexual thing there, I think, at least is what it sounds like.
At least makes it suspicious with the insistence.
Exactly. And so he becomes a lot less social with his coworkers. His attitude changes. He becomes like more angry, more irritable, more short with people. And he's definitely less professional.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually gets caught administering unprescribed drugs and withholding prescribed drugs. So the nursing supervisor started getting concerned because he would like essentially be playing doctor here. So he'd like just decide
that
patients don't need what they're prescribed. And then he was essentially playing doctor and just deciding what to give when and just giving things that weren't prescribed at all and just totally like omitting all the things that they were supposed to get. So the nursing supervisor that was working on the unit starts getting a little bit concerned and she starts to pull all of his charts for a review. There are multiple recording and administration errors found. Like,
oh boy.
There's so many discrepancies that she cannot even wrap her head around it. Like, this is grossly negligent.
My mind is racing.
If not, like, blatantly just ignoring what he's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, she also noticed that he was, like, ordering tests. Like, he's putting in orders for these, like, lab tests and imaging studies that, like, nobody has recommended. The doctors aren't ordering them. He's just, like, ordering them on his own. He's literally just, like, playing cat and mouse, like, playing doctor. I don't know if maybe he wanted to see also, like, chemically and from a lab value standpoint.
What's he doing to them?
What he's doing, like, how is that affecting them metabolically in the moment, possibly? That's just speculation, but I'm not sure. So his supervisor gets wind of this. She meets with him and she's like, I cannot like put you on a warning for this. This is insane. Like, this is insane.
Outside of your scope of practice,
so,
dude.
So she asked for his resignation, which he gives. So this is now the third hospital that he has lost a job from because of his behavior or sketchiness, essentially. And he was given the option, though, to stay on per diem because, you know, you got to fill those shifts.
Stop.
Yep. You're super dangerous. So you can't work full time.
Only when we need you.
Only when we're really desperate. You can come in and fill.
That's got to be a joke.
It's literally not.
Oh, man.
It is literally not a joke. Isn't that ridiculous?
Oh, come on. What an HR nightmare.
Thankfully, his attendance was like sporadic and he stopped going in altogether around October of 1996.
Jeez. Wow.
That same month, he applied to Morristown Memorial Hospital. HR there vetted his resume and references through a third party company that they used. And despite several discrepancies in his hire fire dates and the termination history, they hired him anyway to work in their critical care unit.
So this is why, so like, it's interesting to me, again, when I went to a conference and stuff and talking about people with licensure in our state, you know, it was found interesting that like, you report some, like, so like, obviously you report anything that's gross neglect and whatnot, as far as a license goes, like that situation should have been reported because you're practicing outside your scope of practice. But even just ending unemployment for basic concerns that didn't get resolved, you know what I mean, despite best efforts, are supposed to be reported.
Yes.
And I can see why they have that now, because like, even though you have nothing, like you, they have a lot of egregious stuff, mm-hmm. but it's supposed to be to establish that pattern of yes. like, now the licensing board's going to reach out and be like, so we have like four or five different places where it's like, you're not that great of a nurse. Mm-hmm. You're doing things that like are not good.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to need to like suspend and figure out what's going on.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because clearly the higher fire dates and checking references is not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely. You know. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just.
I can see why they have that now.
Absolutely. Agreed. Agreed, agreed, agreed. So. Mentally, he's still spiraling. Reportedly, he had more suicide attempts or overdose, at least, situations, followed by hospitalizations and then stays on psychiatric units. And then he would complete a program and then spiral again for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
like whatever personal stuff is going on in his life. And that was just like this never ending cycle for him. So he has this new job at Morristown Memorial in their CCU. And I think that's a good place to stop for part two.
Pot duh.
Pot duh.
And then we find out what shit he does again.
It just gets very wild. Like, very wild. It's, like, insane. So, that's what's happening with that.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
We love you.
If you want to I can't remember what I'm saying.
It's fine.
If you want to keep hearing more from us and checking us out and following us, you can search for us on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can reach for. Okay.
You See, can you have it too.
It's contagious. You can find us on YouTube, Med Crimes Podcast.
You can search for us on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you wish to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast.
You can send us any of your crazy stories, suggestions, topics, just compliments, or to tell us how freaking fabulous we are.
That's fine.
At medcrimes@gmail.com.
If you want merch, medcrimespodshop.com.
Woo-hoo!
Stay safe out there.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time.
For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.